Charlie, how many fifth Sundays are there in a year? No, fifth Sundays in a month. Yes. You know, we ended that memorial service Friday with Mrs. Rowe signing along with that group, and if there's any regret, I thought to myself, man, we should have used her more. And when someone's gone, you don't get another chance with the dead, but you sure do with the living. I think it'd be good if at least maybe the fifth Sunday's you two. Because we need to use you more. That was phenomenal. Thank you, thank you, thank you. John chapter 20 this morning. Just to start off, last week we introduced the author of the book, the Apostle John, and this week we will continue to lay a foundation for this book. If you're not a real Bible student, or you don't get real thrilled if you come to church to be entertained, or not real close with the Word, you might not appreciate where we're at and what we're doing, but that's okay. Something might click. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the church. The fact that we could just praise you. What a blessing, Lord. What a blessing. Lord, minister to our hearts now, and that you might be ministered to most of all. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The purpose of the book of John, the purpose of the book of John is found in John chapter 20 in verse 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. But many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe. That's the purpose of the book. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The purpose of the book of John is that you might believe. And so what John is the book that we recommend twofold to unbelievers that are looking to read the Bible and to new believers. It's a great starting place. I'm not opposed to reading a book from front to back. That's how we read most books. But I know my own self, having attempted it maybe one or two times in my life before salvation. Man, I'm not even sure how far I got into Genesis, and it was bogged down. So back to John 1:1 now. We learn that Jesus Christ himself is the Word, capital W-O-R-D, of God personified. Why was Jesus made flesh? Why was the Word made flesh? Why the Word? Because man communicates with words to one another, and that's how God would communicate with man. God, who at sundry times, many times, oftentimes, different times, spake in time past by the prophets, Moses and Elijah and Malachi and Amos and so forth, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus, that prophet. So God would personify his Word in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a great mystery, hard to wrap your mind about it. And his Word would become a person. The Word was made flesh. That Word was God, but it was made flesh and dwelt among us. So in the beginning was the Word, capital W. The Word was with God. Go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. We'll flip around a little bit today just to keep you awake. Sorry about that last week, me being so hot. I came down, everyone said it was freezing in here. Are you kidding? Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Interesting what God refers to himself as. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Interesting, God refers to Himself, His eternal, by letters. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The personified word, so we have the personified word, but then we have the written word, the ink on the pages. And if God was going to communicate His word to man and keep it so man couldn't keep changing it, the best way to communicate it would be to be inspire and to preserve words. You've played that game where you whisper something in someone's ear, and by the time it gets to the end, it's absolutely comical. So get this now. We have the personified word in Jesus Christ, the incarnate word, word made flesh. And then we have the written words of Scripture. And as students of the Bible that rightly divide, when we come across the word word, we want to discern, we want to divide. Is that the eternal person of God made flesh, or is it the written Scripture? If ye continue in, and you can usually tell by the first letter if it's capitalized or not. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. That's the written word. The word, thy word, small w, is settled forever in heaven. Or are we reading about the personified word? In the beginning was the word, capital W, and the word was with God and the word was God. Now here is a wonderful study that we're going to go through a little bit here today. Nothing too dynamic, but very, very profound. The personified word, Jesus, and the written words of Scripture are so closely related that you could easily confuse one from the other when you read the Bible. And if you are not careful, you could become a bibliolater. A bibliolater is someone that worships the ink on the page. And it's so close that you could almost understand somebody doing that. So we're going to look at the similarities, the parallels between Jesus Christ, the personified word, and the Scriptures, the written word, and it's a good time if you love the Bible. Number one, both Jesus and the Bible have a spiritual and a physical nature or element to them. Okay, so we believe that God, Spirit, God is a spirit. If your Bible says God is spirit, get rid of that and get a Bible that says God is a spirit, because there's a lot of spirits that are not God. You don't want to think that anything spirit is God. God is a spirit. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God became flesh and dwelt among us. So we have a spiritual element of God, and we have a physical element of God. The Word became flesh, incarnate, carnal, flesh. What about the written Scripture? Well, listen to the written Scripture as you hold in your hand is the physical element of the Word of God. But these, all Scripture, the script, the writing, is given by inspiration of God. To perspire is to come out. To inspire is for God to breathe in. So there's your spiritual element. The Word of God, talking about this, is quick. What's that mean? Alive and powerful, sharper than the two-edged sword. So both the Son of God, the incarnate God, and the written Word has a physical element and a spiritual element. Number two, John 17 with John 14. John 17 with John 14. Not only do both have a physical and a spiritual element, both are true. Both are truth. John 17, 17. And you, I'll give you a little quiz. We'll have a little fun. Keep you awake here. John 17, 17. That's what Brother Jay wrote in my first Bible. I could not believe a person would buy a $35 Bible, which would probably be a $100 Bible today, a leather-bound Bible, and write that verse, spelled my name wrong. But he put in there, this is the greatest gift you will ever receive outside of salvation. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Is that the Son of God or is that the written word? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What? Written. Good. Don't be scared. You got a 50-50. If you're wrong, you go the other way. John 14, 6. Both are truth. You know this verse. If you don't, you should. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth. So there's the personified word said he's truth. And we know in John 17:17 that the written word is truth. Both are light. You don't have to turn there. John 9, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yet the psalmist said, thy word, small w, that's how usually how you can tell, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, watch this one. 1 Peter chapter 4, Psalm 56. 1 Peter chapter 4, this will go stretch a little bit out of your box. Both are praised. Both are praised. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 11. Somewhere in there it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise. That's what Sunday morning church, that's what a lot of Sunday morning church is all about. But look at Psalm 56:10. So we are know that we are to praise the incarnate word. But Psalm 56 in verse 10. Talked about bibliolater, right? You looked at me funny when I said that. In God, verse 10 of Psalm 56, in God will I praise his small w word. In the Lord. Notice he's not drifting too far from the Lord. In the Lord I will praise his word. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You see the parallels here? 1 Timothy chapter 1. One so close with the other. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We sing a song to this one, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what? Both are eternal. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word, small w, is settled in heaven. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. You know what I'm not afraid of? I'm not afraid of what's going on in this world. All that's going on in this world is just pointing to the road signs that he's soon to come. They can, all this woke and cancel culture, listen, it's all going to pass away, but this is never going to pass away. Both have a physical, the Son of God and the written word. Are you seeing the importance of your Bible this morning, this divine book that you hold in your lap? That's so cool. I got Jesus, all right, and I like Jesus, but you know, I don't get around to the Bible often. Then if you don't get around to the Bible often, let me tell you something, you don't get around to Jesus often. Both have a physical and a spiritual element. Both are truth. Both are light. Both are praised. Both are eternal. Both can be received or rejected. He came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, that's the incarnate word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Rejected or received. I hope you've received the incarnate word. But get a load of this verse in James chapter 1. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love the old English. And I'm a dumb guy. And receive with meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted small w word, which is able to save your souls. He said to those Pharisees, full well you reject the commandments. See, the word, the paper and the ink and the scripture can be received or rejected. And you're not going to receive him without receiving this. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You know what we got people today? We got people fashioning a God after their own imaginations. A God that says you can love whoever you want to love. He doesn't care. A God that says, well, he just loves and forgives everybody, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of their decisions, regardless of if they receive or reject. It doesn't matter. All roads. That's an idol is what that is. Now, it may not be one fashioned out of stone and metal and brick and mortar, but it's an imagination of the mind. Here's another parallel. Both will judge. Both will judge. And this is important, especially in the world we live in. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto who? The Son. See, I like to listen for that. That means tell me people, oh, they know their Bibles. They finish that. When the preacher's saying a verse in his mind, you should be mumbling, yeah, I know the rest of that verse. So he's committed all judgment unto the Son in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by who? Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You imagine Jesus Christ judging your secrets? And my secrets? And you think you have a chance without him? Well, I'll be all right. I've been a pretty good person. Yeah, but I bet your secrets ain't been pretty good. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, those the alive, and the dead, the hell-bound and the heaven-bound. He's going to judge them all. But here's what Jesus said, and this is important. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word. Now, if you didn't look close and say, well, that's a small W, you might say, yeah, the word's going to judge us. We just saw he committed all judgment to the word, the Son of God incarnate. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word incarnate will judge all men according to the words written. And you know what that does? It has a record. You can't connive the judge. You can't say, I didn't know Jesus. Because here is Jesus, the incarnate word, judging you according to the words that he has spoken. We had a lot of, I'm assuming, lost people here Friday. And that may not seem like a big thing to you, but for a preacher of the gospel in a dry and thirsty land where it's hard to find anyone to listen, talk about better to go to the house of mourning. Talk about why would God let this happen? Because he cares more about souls than he does about bodies. To get a bunch of people that he loves that, guess what, have no choice but to listen. At Joe's funeral, there was a couple. I think they were the carpet suppliers. In fact, the guy said, "Hey, you recognize this carpet?" He said, "I sure do." This carpet was $45 a yard. It's the same carpet as in the Rochester Convention Center. That's why a lot of people come here. Man, it's like a casino in this place. We got it for $13 a yard. But the guy, the two guys back there, Sandy. You know the guys, right? Joe's suppliers that have the place here in Brockport. He said, you know, I walked in this place, and I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Joe Camilleri. He said, man, I walked in this place. He goes, I turned to him and I said, boy, I bet you there's no Italians in here. You know, Baptist. He goes, and right away, Camilleri gets up there. Now, do you know Pee Wee? Yeah, that's my Uncle Pee. Do you know Rob? Yeah, he works over at the county. But do you know so-and-so? We just had a good relationship. You know what, man? The gospel, he that heareth, he that rejecteth my word. So that's why we got to give them the word, because in the last days, the word incarnate, see the parallel? Jesus will judge by his words, and there'll be no excuse that, well, I didn't know, I didn't hear, because I thought about all those people there to someday say, well, I didn't, wait a minute. 13, 12, 11th, June 11th, 2021. You sure did hear it. You heard a woman's testimony read word verbatim by her son. You did hear it. Go to Exodus 9. This is really neat. I'm telling you, you're holding a special book in your hand. We're in the book of Exodus. God is going to tell Moses, I want you to go stand before Pharaoh and talk to him. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve thee. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. See, that's why bad things happen sometimes. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, Moses talking to Pharaoh, for this cause have I, God speaking through Moses to Pharaoh, have I raised thee up for to show in thee my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Is there any question that God is speaking my power, my name through the prophet Moses to Pharaoh? You got that? All right. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Watch this. Talk about a special book. Romans chapter 9. We're looking at the personified word and the incarnate word. I'm trying to whet your appetite to show you what that book you got in your hand. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it sarcastically, it's better than a video game. If you just get in it and start seeking and searching. And I've always hated work. Now, it's funny. Timmy, I didn't like the work that I didn't like, but I did my best to surpass everyone in the work I did like. Nobody going to work out in the gym harder than me. But my father would say, you know, we used to have to take the garbage can to the curb. And then you had to take it back. And after about 4 days, he'd say, you know, I've been looking at that garbage can for 4 days down there. And I'm thinking, why don't you just ask me? Because, you know, I'm not thinking about that. When it came to the Bible, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, man, I like that kind of work. But shoveling and even mind work, oh, watch this. So I'm just saying, when I got into this, all of a sudden I found something I like to work, I like to do. Now, I will say this, I'm older now. The work is not as fun as it used to be. But Romans chapter 9, verse 17, remember who talked back there? God spoke through Moses to Pharaoh. Watch this, verse 17. For the Scripture saith, he doesn't stop there. It's a big word right there. Unto Pharaoh. The Scripture? I thought God said it. Through Moses to the king. It says the Scripture say, like the Scripture is alive. It is. The Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose, same purpose, have I raised thee up that I might show my power in thee, that my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. Grab Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. You're holding the divine book in your hand. And if there's ever a time not to forsake it, it's this time. You're going to read that bad news till you jump the bridge. You keep reading this book more than you read those other. You'll say, everything's all right in my Father. It's all right. It's all right. I'll tell you what you won't. You don't have it as bad as the children of Israel in Egypt. Now, I do hear, I like to say to the king in our day, know you not that Egypt is destroyed? 4 mass shootings in one night. 11 in Austin, some 4 in Chicago, in one night. Well, you wanted a world without God. We got to get rid of the guns. No, you got rid of God. Plenty of people had guns, but they had God. It's the guns without the God is what happens when you. Genesis 26:4. You got to hit politics a little bit once in a while. And I will make thy seed, speaking of Abraham, to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Get Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. This is neat, man. You're holding a special book, Galatians chapter 3. You know, you read a book three times and you pretty much got it down pat. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. I don't know how many sermons I preached. We had to preach this last meeting on the lesser servants. Here's a good one. I had to preach on Stephanas. That's the household that addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I had to preach on Barnabas. And they give you plenty of time, a couple months. And I'm saying, okay, I'm preaching on Stephanas being addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I'm going to run a parallel. And I have a parallel message that I run about the drunkard. Woe is me. I'm undone. Woe is the drunkard. Man of sorrows. Who has sorrow? Who hath contention? Just goes down there perfect. It's Sunday afternoon, Mark, before I have to leave for the meeting. I got my Barnabas message. I've been working. Let me get up this Stephanas message and just, you know, massage it and fit it for this here. And I go to my sermon log. I preached it in this church 2 years ago. Oh, no. Talk about work. Just threw that in for free. Galatians chapter 3. Remember, we're talking about Moses. I'm talking about it's a special book. And you know what? Within me, dummy, C minus average, in 5 minutes... This means I'm studying and God's giving me stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh. An addict is not afraid to stand out. You know what Paul said about, they were arguing about who baptized at Corinth. And he said, you guys are arguing about this baptism. I don't even remember. I don't remember anyone. But I remember Stephanas. Isn't he the one with like 12 kids? He stood out, and I preach on why are we afraid to stand out. Now, you don't want me to go preach that message now because, anyways, look at verse 8. 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing, wow, that God would justify the heathen through faith, the scripture, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, what a book, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So we have the word of God, Jesus Christ personified, almost equated with the scripture, the written word of God. Now let me quickly, I'm going to barrage you with some scriptures about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is important. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob defending. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's all right. Let her cry. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And then more specifically in our New Testament, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. They cast out devils in his name. You believe you are saved by believing on his name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm telling you, the Bible could go on and on about the name of Jesus. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 138. Verse 1. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. Watch. You heard what it said about his name. For thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word. Is that a small W or a capital W? It's a small W. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now think about that, brethren. Why? We're talking about the name of Jesus. And he is magnified this above that. Why? I'll tell you why. Because ultimately, this manifests correctly who he is. We got a whole lot of people running around with the name of Jesus that is not a product of this. This gets our perspective. This gets our scope. This gets our interpretation of who Jesus, talk about the Bible Jesus, really, really is. Now, if he magnifies his written word above his name, don't you think he'd expect us to do the same? To magnify, to make great, greater, to increase, increase it, to elevate it. God wants us to magnify his word. You know what? How do you magnify his word? Isn't it like big enough already? This is the seed. We are the sowers. I got thinking about that. Eric over here planting the corn, the soybeans and all that. You look out there now. I don't know how many sacks of corn or soybeans that he puts in one of these fields. And then you look out there and it's just dirt. And underneath is those seeds. And in about 3 months, you know what that gigunda field is with all that corn and all those stalks and all those? It's the seed magnified. One little seed. Poof, poof, poof. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible, to this living word you have. But the word, small w, of God grew and multiplied. I thought it's preserved. I thought you can't add to it. There's something special about this word. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed it. You know how it was prevailing? You know how it was growing? It was getting into people. How will we magnify the word? Quickly, number one, this is heavy, read it. Read it. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. I'll never forget, some of you probably too young to remember Keith Daniel. And I can't remember if he was saying himself or, I was in a revival meeting and this old man of God got up there and he shocked us. He shocked us. He staggered us when he held up the Bible. He says, this book will do you no good. This book cannot help you in your life. This book is useless. And then he said, but this will make you holy. He right, man. What? It does do no good closed. It only magnifies when it's open. It only reproduces when it goes from pages to us. You know what I think the biggest battle facing the Church of Jesus Christ today? It's not the world's homosexual and transgender agenda. I don't think it's critical race theory and woke culture and immodesty or Christian rock or what's going on Sunday morning. I'm telling you what the battle is, I hope it's not a big battle here. God's people are not reading their Bibles. And if you don't read the Bible, you can't receive the Bible. And the reason you know the people probably aren't reading the Bible is because when you compare this with lives, you don't see any resemblance. And thus the word is not magnified in our lives, because when it's not read, it's not magnified. I think 75% of our relationship problems would be solved if people just read their Bibles. I know 100% of them would be solved if they received the Bible. Got to throw this in. Mom and Dad, you better teach your kids to read. It's homeschool. It's not just home. It's homeschool. And I thank God. You know my mental capacity. And I don't understand it, Damon. I couldn't tell you the chemical table. I couldn't tell you. I don't think I knew who was the gray and who was the blue in the Civil War when I graduated high school. And I don't understand, Steve, but one thing I learned to do was read. And I really believe it's of the Lord, because I didn't write. I mean, the only person on the planet that scribbles worse than me is Pastor Folk. And I just feel so good about that because it's the only thing I'm better at. And I'm a scribbler too, but talk about those things. I see these men that write real nice. I sign my name. It looks like a third grader did it. And boys and girls are the same. How come boys are? Anyways. Read it. The engrafted word which is able to save their souls. I've seen 17, 18, 19-year-old kids just come up through homeschool and said, "Oh my, that ought not to be." You got to, if nothing else. That's why my friends that have Christian schools don't believe in homeschooling, because they say God gifts teachers, and he says, and not everyone's a teacher. But there's no excuses today. You've got all kinds of program. You can put that kid right in a class. And in fact, everybody in America was homeschooled this year. Number one, read it. Number two, tremble at it. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now, does that sound like the contemporary God fashioned by Joel Osteen and the New Church architects? And tremble at my word? You ever tremble at words before? Just yesterday I did. When I see one of these, the Department of the Treasury Internal Revenue Service. Oh, no. Not again. The New York State Department of Taxation and Finance. Well, for once, they're saying, more stimulus coming. Keep sending me these checks to make a guy want to be a Canadian. Oh, no, they do it too. We have reviewed your 2019 tax return and we need some more information. You know, it says audit department. You know what you're doing? You're trembling at words. You get a call from the social services. You get a letter from an attorney that starts out, "My client." Oh, no. What did we do? Charlie. A doctor's report. A doctor's report will make you flush. That's trembling at the word. You ever read this? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your work. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forgot. Consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. You read it and you read it and you tremble at it. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Dr. Ruckman used to say he'd be in these conferences with kids, 1,500, 1,800 kids, and he said, "I'll tell you who's going to make it the furthest for God. You that fear God the most." And that's a lost thing. Read it, tremble at it, memorize it. You've been hearing Pastor Folk, man, he tearing me up, man. You ain't memorizing the Bible. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And see, what we're talking about is magnifying the word. Now it's not just here. It's not just on the coffee table. It's not just on the shelf. Now it's in here. And it's in you. And it's in you. And it's in you. And it's in you. And it's starting to multiply. It's starting to be magnified. Read it. Tremble at it. Memorize it. Preach it. Preach it. What then, notwithstanding? Listen to Paul. Every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. They were mocking. They were mocking. And we see that when we're on the streets. Oh, Jesus saves. Say it again. You used to have a big old banner. It said, "Tired of it? Jesus is your answer." And I'll never forget this girl walking down the street. Tired of it? Jesus is your answer. Tired of it? You know what Paul was saying? Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein I do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. Oh, let's take a picture of the preachers. Hey, make sure you get it all in there and be sure to post it. I didn't plan on getting my banner shown in Africa or Malaysia or across San Francisco to your friends on your little site. But yeah, get it all in there. Hey, that's pretense. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, the context is preaching that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body. Why? I'm preaching, and whether I have to take a beating for God or rejection of God, this word is being magnified. Jesus Christ is being magnified. The word of God grew and multiplied. You know what you do when you hand a track? You multiply it. You magnify it. When you lift up your voice, you multiply it. You magnify it. Man communicates with words. God personified His word in the person of Jesus Christ. The preserved word in Scripture is the word small w. And that's His way of communicating with man. Both are true, both are light, both are alive, both are to be praised, both are eternal, both are received or rejected, both will judge. And He's magnified, it's what it says, this above His very name. Let's stand. The question is, how much will we magnify His words? It's going to start with reading it. How is your relationship with the Word of God? Isn't that base? And it's a shame that we need it probably more than ever when we're using it less than ever. Listen, the more exposure you have to the world, you got to take out the L and get more exposure to the Word. And you're on these things all day long, you better give God equal time. Magnify His Word. And our lives are really the manifestation of our relationship, because our relationship with the written is directly parallel with our relation with the incarnate one. We're going to sing a song number 421.